Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found, but
don't yeah, we did.
We started to burn many things we found, way too many things we found, including uranium. The worst thing that we've done probably in human history, burning uranium, blowing up Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and following up with about 400 to 500 commercial nuclear power plants all over the world, including 99 here in the United States, which we are definitely desperately trying to shut down. This is Harvey Wasserman. We're here for another hour of the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We are going to be focusing today on election protection. We're on the brink, the eve of the California primary. I am in California talking to you from sunny Los Angeles. We're going to be covering the map here with some really important people. Myra Reason will join us from Southern California. Myra, when you're on, give us a yell. And we've got John Brakey in Arizona, who's coming to a major event here in L.A. on Sunday to talk about election protection and election theft. And good. And we will be joined by Bob Fetrakis, my co-conspirator, on a number of books, including the most recent one we have out there, the strip and flip selection of 2016, the five Jim Crows and electronic election theft. Let's start with John Brakey. Myla, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, okay. Actually, John, if you'll hold for a moment, I want to start with Myra Reason. Myra, you are another co-conspirator out in Los Angeles, and we are having a major event in Santa Monica on Sunday, starting at 3 p.m. Pacific time. I know there are some people in California who are listening to the show, and we will be filming it and sending it around on the net. But can you describe the event on Sunday, Myla, if you would?
Sure. You really pulled together a great show, Harvey. We're going to have you and Bob Fetrakis, and the co-authors of your wonderful new book, and then Bev Harris from Black Box Voting, and Greg Pallas, and Mimi Kennedy, all fantastic election protection, election integrity activists, who are all going to be talking this Sunday, Memorial Day, 3 p.m. in Santa Monica. And my number, if people want a location or more information, is 310-663-7660. We're going to have Memorial Day food, both vegan and non-vegan choices, and it should be a great gathering.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and because we're starting at 3 p.m., we are going to be able to go, you know, deep into the evening and really make this a working meeting for people who are wanting to fight election theft, to implement what we call the Ohio Plan, which is universal hand count of paper ballots, automatic voter registration when you're 18, a four-day voting period, national holiday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, precincts everywhere, but most importantly, universal hand counted paper ballots. And Myla, give us a prospect here. You're a Californian. Of what's upcoming on the in the California primary. I mean, my understanding now, and John, you're on this case as well, that the exit polls that usually accompany public events, public elections, have been canceled for this California primary. Are you following that?
You know, I am. As far as I know, they have been canceled, and I'm hoping that when we organize this coming Sunday that we can turn that around, because it's just unacceptable. And I don't think that we have to stand for it. And I think that there are things that we can do about it. So we need to strategize and put together a plan so that we can turn that around. And I just want to say, Harvey, I talked to you the other day. I was out registering voters during that last weekend because the cutoff to register in order to vote in the primary was this past Monday. So there was a huge push that was from Sanders supporters all over California to make sure that people were registered. And I was out in a public place where people come, a lot of people come, and I was focusing on talking to young people to make sure that they were registered to vote. And I was very encouraged because it seemed like 9 out of 10 of the young people who I approached were already registered to vote, were already supporting Bernie, and many of them had already mailed in their mail-in ballots. I don't know if mail-in ballots are such a good thing, but they had already mailed them. And so it looks like the, you know, young people are really, really energized and enthusiastic out here in California. And I believe that if the election isn't stolen from us and we actually get the results, the accurate results, that we can have an enormous victory for Bernie Sanders in California.
Well, it would be a shocker. And I got to say that the New York Times today ran a front, I think it's on the front page, a piece saying that Bernie, who was being, you know, behind 10, 15 points in the polls in California, is now basically within the margin of error. And, you know, it would be a stunning, tremendous turn if he did carry California in the primaries. I mean, that would be such a blow to the corporate control of the Democratic Party that it really is something to think about.
Great. So, Harvey, I want to come on your show again soon to talk about what we need to do for Pacifica Radio, because we're going to have elections for the station boards all at all of the 5 Pacifica stations coming up. We're going to be opening up nominations at the beginning of June for people to run for their local station boards at WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, KPFA in the San Francisco Bay Area, and KPFK down here. So stay tuned for that, and look, please, people, consider running for the local station board, and there's a lot going on. So thank you for this time, Harvey, and I really look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, well, I'll see you tomorrow night for dinner, but we appreciate it. Myra, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
And you can listen in online if you like, and we'll proceed. But California primary is a very, very big deal. You know, I have to say, it's always indelibly marked in my mind and in the minds of so many Americans is what happened in after the California primary in 1968 when Bobby Kennedy was shot. And I just got the notice of a new book on the Bobby Kennedy assassination, and I will be having the people on to talk about that. But you and I will be together tomorrow night. Thank you, Myla, for filling
Thank
us
you.
In. Okay? All right.
Take care.
Next, we're going to talk with John Brakey. Take care, Myla. Take care. John Brakey, you are in Arizona. You're coming to this event in Santa Monica Sunday night. Sunday afternoon. Tell us first, John Brakey. You were on the show before. Tell us what has happened, the nature of the lawsuit that you filed in Arizona on election protection, and what has happened with that.
Well, first off, it's the title of your book matches exactly what happened, okay?
You mean
voter suppression we could prove. Excuse me?
Strip and flip selection. The stripping
of voter rolls. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a voter suppression that we proved 150,000 people were suppressed because the numbers don't lie, okay? And we had a formula to show that. And then, of course, our good friend and yours, Richard Charman out of Florida, was an expert witness in the case. And so we proved, you know, by the numbers what happened, okay, when it came to voter suppression in Maricopa, okay? You know,
I will tell us, John, before you get rolling here, tell us what did happen in Maricopa County in Arizona during the Democratic primary.
Well, okay, let's do that. In 2008, which was really the last primary that we had, where we had 400 precincts opened up, okay, to go ahead and count votes for Democrats and Republicans. In 2012, okay, which was the last cycle, they had 200, but that was only for Republicans, okay? In 2016, okay, they only had 60 opened up. 60. And it just caused tremendous lines, that the lines were so long that people would drive up, couldn't even find a parking plot, or saw the line and said, I'm sorry, I got to go home. I got to take care of my kids. I got to go ahead. I mean, it was that badly suppressed that we haven't seen anything like this since the 2004 election in Ohio, okay, which was another big voter suppression attempt.
Right. Well, we know about that, so...
Yeah, okay. And so basically that was the first part that really caught my attention. Of course, then we started looking at the situation with the Strip. And basically, just like your book talks about, somebody somehow got into the voters' database, which people don't realize that, you know, in 2002, they spent $2 billion building these statewide databases that connect to other states on a national level. By 2006, the L.A. Times wrote a book, said, does the GOP know if you like anchovies? Because they're talking about taking the state database and working it in the Democrat and Republican side, and then they take it, hook it to commercial. Well, that was 2006. Now we're in 2016. My God, they got Google, Facebook, corporations constantly profiling us or whatever. And, you know, we believe that working with, by the way, a very famous scientist out of Iowa, which was Doug Jones, who has worked in Arizona before with us on election integrity issues back in 2004, that there was a strip, and people were stripped of their rights, and, you know, somehow putting on a caging list, you know, things like Greg Palast talked about, who will be with us also Sunday, that you walk into a motor vehicle or call up and you make a change, and then all of a sudden there was a glitch, and you're no longer a Democrat, you're something else, and you can't vote. But maybe they already knew that you were going to vote Democrat and who you're going to vote for, because if you remember the scandal that happened during the election between on the DNC and Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and that whole escapade, it was about knowing who's doing what and gathering data. Because elections in this cycle is about knowing how people are going to vote and trying to stop them. The third thing, which was very big, was the flip, like you and you have in your book. My God, Hillary Clinton wins the vote by mail by 60%. And Bernie Sanders wins the precinct vote election day by 60%, and then wins the provisionals by 63%. It shows there's something wrong. And so we took him to court on that, but knowing that when I took him to court, that probably weren't going to win because the system is so corrupt, and that we may have a strong constitution saying to protect the purity of elections and you cannot make laws to interfere with that right. Well, they did, and our system has been subverted. At the end, I lost the case because they would not allow me to bring in evidence of past malfeasance and fraud. Like, for example, last November, and Bev will probably go to it in this Sunday, I caught them trying to steal an election in Arizona on a bond election for $800 million. And I have the whole thing on film, which is incredible. And I tried to enter that as evidence. I tried to enter a lot of things, and they wouldn't lose it. And at the very end, they said, yeah, you proved that there was voter suppression, that, yeah, people were stripped, but you didn't prove that, this is how we lost the case, is that we didn't prove enough to show that Bernie Sanders would have won the election. I never claimed that. I claimed that there was things going on, okay, and that the election was about delegates from 9 federal congressional districts. And I showed that in one, just 300 more votes, Bernie Sanders would have picked up another delegate. But the court ruled, and also, interesting enough, all of these county attorneys and the attorney general, that Mr. Brakey did not prove his case because he has to prove that Bernie Sanders would have won the election. Well, there's no way I can prove that because I couldn't get the data. I couldn't get the ballots. It was the day I filed to the day we were in court was like 10 days. And I'll say this. They buried us on paper that you wouldn't believe. I mean, I must have had motions filed on us that were 3 inches thick. And then they made me spend $4,000 to go ahead and refile with the host state again at the last minute just to protect a right to be in court. And if I had to do it all over again, I would have done it because I proved that the system has been subverted. You follow me?
Yeah. Now, are you,
I got a judicial record.
Were you in state court or federal court?
No, I was in state court.
So did you, and you had no recourse to the federal court?
Well, not really, because, you know, the way the laws are written, you know, yeah, possibly. But, you know, when you talk about going federal court, you're talking a hell of a lot more money and a lot more specialty than I have and the attorneys that I know. And because that is a lot more expensive process.
So what were you trying to accomplish?
Yeah, we do have to do.
What were you asking the state court to do in your lawsuit based on the Arizona primary? What was the ask?
Well, a revote. That was the bottom line, that we wanted to we wanted them to work with us, a citizen group, and get to the bottom and find out exactly what happened, because we never did get the evidence that we needed. We never could look at ballots because they won't let you. I mean, you know, ballots are not a public record in my state, okay? And vote by mail is where the monster is, right, in our opinion, where things are happening. 90%, 85 to 90% of our vote in our state now is vote by mail. But getting back to your question, we wanted a revote. And we wanted to have it before June 7th.
You were asking to restate the primary. I don't know if that's ever happened. That's a heck of a thing. So, and the court said basically that you were right, but that you couldn't prove that it would have changed the outcome. Therefore, there was no revote. Is that what the decision was?
That's exactly. That was the decision, is that the law states, even though, this is interesting, even though the race was about 9 different congressional districts, right? And that dividing up votes, and that you don't need to win delegates, I mean the whole thing, they said the law states that it's a winner take all, and we don't listen to any deals that these parties make. Crazy, huh?
Well, but too, the Democratic primaries are not winner take all primaries, are they?
No, they're percentages. If you win 51% of the vote, you get 51% of the delegates.
And that's the way it was in Arizona.
That's the way it was. It's the same thing in California or all the states that have come up with this thing.
And so they're saying that you couldn't prove even that you would get one additional Bernie a delegate, and therefore you couldn't have a revote?
They proved that. They threw the case out and dismissed it because it's winner-take-all. Anything less than that means nothing. You didn't prove that the final result of the election would be changed. And that is just too high of a standard. We wanted to prove that we couldn't trust the system and that elections aren't any good unless they're verifiable, Your Honor, and this election is not verifiable. And and we even tried to push the constitutional part, but he just wouldn't hear it. It was shocking when I was on the stand, and, you know, we had put a book together of 385 pages of exhibits, okay? And we were trying to introduce evidence into the court showing malfeasance and fraud proven, and the court would not accept it because basically the other side says, Your Honor, all that evidence is irrelevant. This is about this election. Whatever happened last November is irrelevant, and we argued it's not because of the responsibility of protecting elections.
Now, did you get any media coverage on this trial?
Oh, we certainly did. It went national. It was very well received. In fact, what really kind of helped is Tim Robbins jumped in on the first day of court, and he put a tweet out that really shook everybody up, and then he was under attack.
And, tell us about that tweet.
What's that?
Tell us about Tim Robbins. You were talking about Tim Robbins, the actor here.
Yeah, who is in, and he is a very big Bernie Sanders supporter.
So tell us about the tweet. What did he say?
Well, he put a tweet out, and I guess it had something to do with Richard Charman, who's out of Florida. He works with your group as well as ours. He's an expert on exit polls, and he was elaborating. And then Richard, of course, was getting ready to testify in my trial, okay? And you know, I don't know if they picked up on that and it was some kind of an assault or whatever. But, you know, a lot of things that happen, you know, how media is and working with whoever they are to manipulate situations. But they attacked him pretty vigorously, and they attacked Richard, too, and it all backfired. In fact, it really probably was a big mistake on their part going after, because a lot of people went after the writers who wrote these bogus stories. And by the way, I think this is the same writer who attacked you and Bob. Ross Story.
Right. His name is Josh Holland. He writes for The Nation magazine.
And yeah, Bob, it looks like he's a hack for somebody.
Bob wrote a scathing response, which really, you know, really blew him away, which we published at Reader Supported News. Bob, people should look it up. And I've had Bob. Bob is going to be joining us, by the way. Bob, are you with us yet? No. So I talked to Bob just before the show. He's driving around Northern California, and he's going to call in when he can get to a secure location. So, Tim Robbins basically said pretty clearly that he thought Hillary Clinton was stealing the primaries. And people went crazy. And I got to tell you that he sent me an email, and his original response was somewhat apologetic, and I told him not to apologize at all. And and hopefully he's going to turn up at our event in Santa Monica on Sunday at 3 p.m. And people, again,
well, I hope so.
If you're in Southern California, you want to fly in, we will put up a John, I assume, you've told me you're bringing photographers, and we will put up a record of this meeting. We're going to have Bev Harris and Greg Palast, who broke the initial stories on the theft of the 2000 election in Florida, and then me and Bob Fitrakis, we covered the theft of the election in 2004 in Ohio, and then we'll have me, Bebe Kennedy, with us, and you'll be there and a bunch of other people. So this is going to be a pretty big event. Tim was, who I've never met, but seems like a good guy. I've seen Shawshank Redemption actually two or three times. It's an amazing movie. He's great in that. But he put out a pretty aggressive tweet, as you said, and then was assaulted, and then put out another aggressive tweet, which I thought was, when I actually put out a piece. And I don't think he's backing down.
It was a Huffington Post, in fact. It was a tremendous article, and I can see this guy is not afraid to tell the truth. And, of course, you know, I do have somebody else I think pretty exciting who's going to be coming to this meeting Sunday, because, you know, I'm hoping a lot of good synergy is going to come into this meeting. I'm bringing with me Rocky Della Fuente, who is a presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, who's fallen down a rabbit hole like we have many years. We've been just down the rabbit hole a long time, who's realizing how really purely corrupt this whole Democratic Party election system and spiced up with election fraud that he's actually witnessed and has documented from his angle.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. So now how do you plan to proceed? What is the next step in your work in Arizona? You know, everybody, one thing about the Arizona primary was everybody saw the lines. That was a national story. And because we had done the groundwork in Ohio, and people remember the lines from Ohio, seeing the lines in Arizona meant that once again, people were being deprived of their right to vote. And, you know, when you, as you mentioned, when you reduce the number of precincts that people can come out to vote in, it means that they're going to have long lines. And now people who have to work, you know, Tuesday being a working day, and this is one of the reasons we don't this is one of the reasons we want to have a 4-day holiday for voting, is if you have to work on a Tuesday, and Tuesday is the only day you can vote between 7 in the morning and 7:30 in the evening, and you show up, you've taken time off to vote, say you've come on your lunch hour, and there's a 5-hour line, you got to choose between voting and your job. And this is by design. We know that in Ohio there was a deliberate reduction of precincts, especially in the cities. It wasn't they didn't reduce precincts in the rural areas, which are Republican. They reduced precincts in the urban areas, which are primarily Democrat, you know, Black and Hispanic. And now in Arizona, tell us about Maricopa County. Tell us about the demographics of the people who were confronted with these long lines, John Brakey.
Well, it's exactly just what you said, just how you explained it. That is how it laid out, okay? Is that, of course, the influential places, they had better location, better parking, but in the minority, it was horrid. And you know, listen, in 2006, we voted down vote by mail in this state. And then what do? They kept forcing it on us by changing voting locations, making it hard to find, and people would say, screw it, I'll vote by mail. Because that's the design that they want to get us to. They don't want us to have a precinct where people were the same place, where people get to know each other, that there's community. They want to break that up because they're just really afraid that the American people someday just might organize and learn how to be the we again, like in We of the People.
Right.
You know, and that's the sad part. And, you know, to just add one other story, you know, I've been canvassing elections all across the country, okay? Me and Mimi put a report together before even the primary started about the South, and I just saw how bad it was going to be because they got a lot of DREs, and of course,
those. You got to say, what's a DRE? John, explain what a DRE is.
A direct recording electronic machine, which is a lot of, in some of these states, are paperless. You push the button once, you get the same result, okay? There's nothing to prove that it's any different. When I did, I wound up canvassing Massachusetts particularly hard because I've been to Massachusetts twice. There I discovered that there were 68 communities that hand-counted their vote because they didn't want a company like LHS, who, as far as I'm concerned, run by the mafia, counting their vote. And so at that point right there, those 68 communities on an average voted for Bernie Sanders by 17.9%, where the rest of the state, this was counted by electronic voting machines run by this LHS, which does the D-Bolt system and the ESNS, lost by 1.43%. And I'm talking about even all the college towns, okay? And, you know, and to make it worse, you know, these 68 communities that hand-counted their vote was 2.69% of the total vote for the whole state. That's a tremendous verifier is how honest the election was, meaning that it wasn't. And then after that, you know, I went and I spent a week before the next primary happened contacting clerks, and I wanted to know how many people voted by mail. And you know, these clerks, they hate doing paperwork, you know, and they really hate doing elections. That's why they like LHS to come in, bring the machine, set them up, counter vote, and leave. You know what I'm saying? Really poor operation for supposedly such a great blue state, you know? I went ahead and I was writing small little emails. I didn't want to do a records request because that means they could have more time. I made believe I was a citizen, and I was writing these clerks, and I said, hi, my name's John Brakey. Here's my email address. Can you please tell me how many people democratically and from Democratic side and the Republican side cast an absentee ballot? These people were so lazy, they would just mail me their Excel sheets, okay? And I would go into these Excels, and I would put them together, a Microsoft Excel, and one had like 1,800 addresses. I'd find out exactly how many Democrats were voting, which was most of them, really. And then I started putting addresses together, and I found on many occasions that it looks like to me that there's probably something going on like, you know, ballot harvesting, that they go into nursing homes, and like for this one particular, two nursing homes, there was 50 people. 46 of them were Democrats, okay, only four were Republican, and, you know, that's kind of unusual. Yeah, the America, I mean, Massachusetts is a Democratic state, but please, it's not 96% Democrats, okay? You know, it is a ratio, probably, you know, a lot of independents, Democrats, Republicans, but, you know, it was all Democrats voting, and it was like somebody was out there harvesting, or they're using vote by mail, because getting back to the situation that in 2002 the Help America Vote Act passed, they know if I leave Arizona and I decide I'm going to move to Massachusetts, that when I change addresses and fill out a form, they're going to know some private corporation could wind up casting a vote. And how that system works is like Runbeck is our big guy in this state, and they work other states. In Maricopa, they print the ballot, they mail the ballot out, they receive the ballot, they scan your signature, and then they send the ballot to the election department, okay? Pardon me, but that's just a little bit too much corporations, private corporations, knowing what's going on and have the ability. Maybe let's go ahead and slip a couple of votes, because I know that election fraud in this country is done like mixing concrete, okay? You know, let's do a little bit here. Let's suppress a little bit right there. Let's strip a little over here, okay? And when we get it all done, we're going to make concrete, and it's over. We won. You follow me? Probably it's a poor analogy, Harvey. You probably can do better than I can on it. But, you know, that's
I like that.
Well, because I've been on top of this full-time for 12 years now, election fraud.
Well, what's starting?
I'm really
Bob Petrakis, are you on, by the way?
What?
Has Bob Petrakis called in yet? No, not yet. Okay. John, what got you started in this, and where are you going with it next?
Well, what got me started was 2004. I was a cluster captain. I had four precincts. And I caught which was in Mark Crispin Miller's book he wrote in 2005 called Fooled Again, How the Right Stole This Election. There's a whole chapter about what happened in that election, because I found a strip and a flip, you'd come into this precinct, they'd say, oh, you must have got an early ballot. You're going to have to vote a provisional, and they would trick them to sign the provisional roster, okay, the signature roster, which is where you're supposed to sign to vote at the precinct. And then they would put their vote in an envelope, and then they would put another one in the ballot box to make it. Because if there ever was an audit, you could audit this precinct, because we're losing electronic voting hacking on everything else. So it was a situation that if there was had to be a hand count because of a closeness or some kind of an error, they would lead you to a stacked precinct. And you got to remember, at this time, Jan Brewer, who was the Secretary of State, who became governor afterwards, was the chair of the Bush campaign, just like Blackwell was.
J. Kenneth Blackwell was the Secretary of State of Ohio, who choreographed the theft of the 2004 election, and you're saying Jan Brewer did a similar thing in Arizona.
Oh, totally, totally. You know, it's incredible.
She was rewarded by becoming the
governor. Hacker. We had our kingpin, or man in the middle, was a guy named William E. Doyle. Well, you had this other guy that you guys uncovered. No, we found a lot of in common things.
All right, well, tell us about Mr. Doyle, the guy that we uncovered in Ohio, Michael Connell, who choreographed the electronic side of the vote flip in Ohio in 2004. He died in a mysterious plane crash while under federal subpoena in 2008. Now, you had a guy in Arizona who did a similar thing, is that right?
Well, absolutely. And how we found him is you know, I was constantly doing Pima County, Maricopa County. Pima County is, Maricopa County is the fourth largest county in the United States, okay? And Pima County is the second largest county in the state of Arizona. Our voting population here on the rolls is about 500,000. Maricopa County, I think, is about 2.5 or 3 million. It's very big. And I decided on this election cycle to do it differently. I wanted to go small. I wanted to look at a small County, and I was invited into Santa Cruz County by, because I used to live there. They asked me to come in and say, work with us. We think our system is corrupt. So I went down there and did the primary of 2014, which turned into the general next, which I did that one. Well, they denied me the records request, and my records request, at that point, I said to myself, I want to know who's programming this stuff, and secondly, who's printing their ballots, because usually they go hand in hand. The printer and the person who programs, if they're not doing it in-house, are the same person, okay, or associated together. The elections director said she had no record like that, and she couldn't give it to me because there was nobody, and she got on a court stand and swore under oath that she was the one who programmed the database, okay? Well, when I got the audit log for the GEM system, the voting system, I looked in the audit log and I found out, this is interesting. If she's programming Santa Cruz County, I wonder if she's doing these other six counties. Okay? And when I found that out, that's when I found Doyle. And Doyle has been programming he worked in Maricopa in the 80s.
John.
Yeah.
Okay, just you gotta tell us real quick now, because we have Lori Grace, Bob Petrakis, and Cliff Warren
about
to jump in.
Hello.
So
well, just wrap it up
quickly.
Real quick is that he was programming everything since 2003 to 2014, secretly was programming the databases for all the outlying counties, and he was loading these databases through the same phone modems that received the results, which is illegal.
And is this guy still there in Arizona? Is he going to be a...
Supposedly he's retired, but I don't know that as a fact yet.
All right, so someone else has probably taken over the joystick from this guy, and we are looking forward in Arizona to another, I assume, another corrupt election when it comes down to the generals, and I assume we're going to have long lines again in Maricopa County, another predominantly black and Hispanic precinct regions. Is that a safe assumption?
Well, I think this is that they force people to vote by mail because of the aggravation, and now it's going to be harder to uncover unless we somehow file a lawsuit and we start trying to work to make ballots a public record. Because they
all right, very, very good.
John
Brakey, I'm going to see you on Sunday in Santa Monica.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome to stick on the line. We're joined by three great election activists, Lori Grace, Bob Petrakis, and Cliff Arnebeck. You guys are all in the Bay Area right now.
Right.
And you've had a number of events. Lori, we'll start with you very quickly. We understand in California in this really crucial upcoming primary vote that Bernie Sanders has pulled very close to Hillary Clinton. It's on the front page of the New York Times, where she was way, way ahead now. She's within the margin of error. I don't think anybody who follows elections would doubt that a Bernie Sanders victory in California would be an immense political earthquake. But they have eliminated, and clarify if I'm wrong, my understanding is they've eliminated the exit polling in the upcoming primary. Lori Grace, do you want to talk about that?
Yes, they eliminated the exit polling, and we are wondering if they did that because there's a lawsuit that Election Justice USA and Cliff Arnebeck are putting forward to demand the raw data. And the media consortium that had hired Edison, the exit polling company, for all the other previous primaries is backing out and saying they won't do any more exit polling. I have some concern that they may feel they're being watched.
All right, so let's make this as clear as we possibly can so there's no mistaking what's happened here.
Good.
Exit polls, and Bob Petrakis, you put out a brilliant piece at Reader Supported News countering Josh Holland of The Nation and other doubters on election polls, exit polls. Traditionally, in these elections, exit polling is done by major companies that are hired by the media, the consortia of media who cover the elections, to get what is generally considered the gold standard, the most accurate vote count or a sense of the vote count in an election. And this has come under attack, of course. But now, suddenly, in California, with this hugely important primary, I mean, this is a major event in American history. If Bernie Sanders...
Hello?
If Bernie Sanders... Yes, hello? Can you all hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. If Bernie Sanders comes out of the blue from the left and takes the primary, the Democratic primary, in the biggest state in the country, in this election, it says a lot about the future of the Democratic Party. Now, suddenly, in the lead-up to this important election, the one reliable monitor that we have on the vote count, the exit poll, is eliminated. Mysteriously, is that what's happened, Lori?
Yes, it's been eliminated, and we are seeking to do a exit poll of sorts ourselves at this point. It may use more than one system of exit polling, and we're actually trying to raise money for it through the nonprofit at trustvote.com. Also known as the Institute for American Democracy and Election Integrity. And then that also, we're working with the Columbus Institute of Contemporary Journalism, which includes Bob Fitrakis and Cliff.
Okay, well, Bob, you're on the line. And Cliff, you're the attorney. So you lawyers now, it always comes down to the lawyers. Tell us about this lawsuit, where it's being filed, and what you're asking for.
Well, we're going to be filing a lawsuit in Columbus, Ohio, and we're going to be asking for discovery of the exit poll that was conducted in Ohio in the 2016 primary. We're going to try to be moving as fast as possible with a request for a temporary restraining order against the continuation of the suppression of the exit polls that have been conducted in the 2016 primary, so that this information will become public, and that the public will know that there are red flags in most every state in which there has been a primary in this cycle, indicating the likelihood, strong likelihood of vote shifting.
Mm-hmm. Bob Fitrakis, you and I have co-authored the. Thank you. That was Cliff Arnebeck. Thank you. One of our major legal players in this attempt to protect what's left of our democratic process. Bob Fitrakis, you and I have just co-authored a new book, The Strip and Flip Selection of 2016, Five Jim Crows and Electronic Election Theft, which is out of freepress.org and solartopia.org. Tell us how... Well, here's a question, okay. We want exit polling... In California, how do we force them to do exit polling? Or what is the hope? What is the goal of the lawsuit?
Well, the goal of the lawsuit is a little different. Now you can't force anyone to do exit polling. It's a good thing in a free society. But what we really want, since the exit polls, which is the international gold standard for determining when somebody is tampering with an election or there's election fraud, is that what we want them to do is to release the unadjusted polls. Cliff will tell you that's one of the demands. And here's our thought, is that it looks like somebody is stealing Bernie Sanders' votes. In at least 10 of the 26 elections in the primaries, if they would have occurred outside the United States, U.S. State Department would not accept the election results as valid, and we would be investigating for fraudulent elections. So it looks like, by that standard, 10 of these elections cannot be considered valid because the recorded Sanders vote is so much different from what people said when they came out of the polls and said how they vote, that you can only conclude that there's election fraud going on and somebody is stealing Sanders' votes. So we want the Edison Research Group the pollsters, the exit pollsters, to release the unadjusted polls, which are used worldwide to determine election theft.
That's amazing. And you, when you say unadjusted, of course, you and I have written that exit polling, which is within 1% in places like Germany where they have hand-counted paper ballots, here in the United States, the exit polls come out, and then the official vote count comes out, and then they adjust the exit polls to reflect the official vote count, which completely defeats the purpose of the exit polls. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it reverses the exit polls. Universally, and the Edison Research Group does this worldwide, the exit polls are not adjusted. They're there to determine if there's election theft. In the United States, we're the only area where the official vote count, when it differs statistically and significantly from what the people are saying when they come out of the polls, instead of accepting the exit polls and investigating for fraud, what we do is we simply assume that the recorded vote, which are on machines that are not only old, more than a decade old, but are also run by partisan, for-profit, partisan companies that are privately held and are using secret software to program the machines and the central tabulators. So it's absurd. We're not questioning why these results are so impossible and implausible from what people are telling us.
So Tim Robbins, the actor, put out a tweet implying or maybe even saying outright that Hillary Clinton was stealing the nomination through the faulty and rigged primaries. Is that something that, and then of course he was attacked, as we would expect, by the usual suspects, and then he came back with a pretty firm and solid reply that was put up in the Huffington Post. The three of you, any one of you, Lori, Bob, or Cliff, is the implication here that Hillary Clinton should not be rightfully nominated at the Democratic Convention?
It's we're not saying that Hillary Clinton is doing this. It is being done in a way that would benefit her campaign in the primary. Once the facts are disclosed that this is a criminal activity, what we expect with high degree of confidence is that Hillary Clinton will disclaim any involvement and will want a full investigation, just as we will want, and she will graciously concede that if their votes have been stolen, that should not be allowed to happen.
Well, obviously the main event coming up is the California primary, and we have now been stripped of the election exit polls, but the polls that we do have show it's tightening. It's quite a remarkable chain of events, actually. Now, Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to say something after Cliff. I feel it. The nature of electronic management of our elections has greatly expanded. It's ballooned tremendously, and also includes companies like a company known as Seidel, SOE, that has its main offices in Barcelona, Spain, but has also bought SOE, that has penetrated 36 states in the United States. And there are possibilities that people very different than the Hillary Clinton group are stealing these votes. And I have concerns that many Republicans feel actually fairly confident that Hillary will be beaten. And so Republicans have been known, or not Republicans, but certain people have been known to have set up in certain primaries, candidates like one in North Carolina and one in Louisiana, candidates that for a Democrat that the Republicans have found very easy to beat. So the possibility of setting up the person you want to beat in an election does exist.
Bob Fitzrakis, you want to comment on that?
Well, the people need to realize that these partisan for-profit companies that are using secret software are heavily involved. That's why the book, which, by the way, you're the co-author of, Harvey Wasserman, why it's a strip and flip, because it's one-stop shopping. If you go to CITL SOE, right, they register your voters for you. They take care of the voter database. They use the e-poll books, you know, so you don't sign in on paper in many places anymore. You got to go there, and you show up, and, you know, expecting, if you're in New York, a closed primary, to vote for Bernie, and suddenly somebody has transferred you to the Libertarian Party, or you're an independent. Or here in California, you show up to vote, and you're an NPP, no party preference. Thus, you can't vote in the Democratic primary for Bernie Sanders. So these companies not only do the voter databases and the electronic poll books, they also count the votes. They also, in the case of CITL, will handle all your social media and respond to people to make sure that their voting experience that people see online will have been wonderful, even if you waited in line 5 hours. And they'll also do your late night reporting of the vote. So they register the voters. They train your poll workers. They handle your social media. They count your votes, and they report them. And a lot of these have ties to groups like Titan, which was involved in Iraq in torture, and to other organizations like Booz Allen Hamilton. So they have all these interlocking directorships, Harvey, with ties to the U.S. intelligence community. And they're counting all our overseas votes, even though they're a foreign company based in Barcelona, Spain.
My God. Well, I got to say, Bob, this is one of the reasons you and I wrote the strip and flip selection of 2016, and why we've drafted the Ohio plan, which calls for universal hand-counted paper ballots, universal automatic voter registration, four-day weekend holiday for voting, with college students and high school students and elders running the polls at $15 an hour. I mean, this really, it's a joke. Now, I listened last night to Brad Friedman's Brad Blog show on KPFK here in LA, and he had a guy on describing the voting process in the primary here in California. I couldn't follow it. I mean, it's a completely messed up and confusing. Lori Grace, you're a California voter. Have you figured out how to vote in this primary? I mean, it's insane.
I myself am okay. I'm a permanent absentee ballot, and I double-checked it to make sure I was still a Democrat, even though I tend to vote green, actually. But I have had quite a few friends who have discovered that they were registered incorrectly, and have had to go back even to the elections office itself to get it clear and do it even more than once. And then there's also these other ballots called no party preference, which many people have been here in California, and when they open up to vote for a president, no presidential candidate is there. So there's a lawsuit put out by a lawyer, Stephen Jaffe, to have the judge order that all polling stations have Democratic ballots, because not everybody reads little things that are in the news or come in the mail, and this no party preference thing, you might not have read it, and you walk into a polling station with the ballot you've usually used, and you want to, let's say you want to vote for Bernie or Hillary, and there's no presidential candidate. And there have been very different other things. There are some things that say you can register to vote up till May 31st and then others May 23rd. And, you know, so there's been mass confusion, actually.
And we, and as we know, Bob and Cliff from Ohio, mass confusion is sometimes done on purpose. Cliff, you had a lot of experience with that in 2004. And we're running out of time real quick. So how do you think mass confusion plays into the hands of whoever is doing all this stuff? Are we looking at an election process that's been deliberately infected with mass confusion?
Yes. The strategy, as you guys point out in your book, is a combination strategy of maladministration, and because it's consistently in one direction, it's just like the vote flipping is in one direction, it appears to be a purposeful part of a comprehensive strategy to affect the outcome of the election.
And we're assuming it's all in the direction away from Bernie Sanders. Bob Petraeus, you are a Green, how do you think this whole mess has affected the balance in the primary season between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton?
Well, as a political scientist, I believe Bernie Sanders won the nomination. I think, you know, he's been cheated out of 6 to 8% of the vote. If you look at accumulation, you know, and 10 out of the, in 24 out of the 26 primaries, there's a shift towards Hillary Clinton. And in at least 10 of them, it's a impossible, implausible shift that did not occur among actual voters. It's manufactured by these secretly programmed computer voting machines or central tabulators.
Oh, my God. 1 minute. Really quickly, where do people go for to plug into this? Freepress.org is where our book is, Strip and Flip Selection of 2016. Lori Grace, what's the website for your lawsuit?
If you want to contribute to expand the size of a privately sponsored exit poll that will release results in California, go to trustvote.com. There's also a donate button to expand the reach of the lawsuit. This is all done by a nonprofit, and you can begin to address the situation. I'm always never liking to present bad news without a possible solution.
Okay, and those of you listening in California, Santa Monica, 3 p.m., write to us, solartopia@gmail.com. We'll tell you where it's at. Bob Petraeus, Cliff Arnebeck, and Lori Grace, thank you so much for joining us from Northern California. We'll see you at the event. And let's have fair elections. It's the only way we're ever going to get to Solartopia. And thank
I
you
agree.
So much, crew in New York. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we even...